Moses called by God to lead Israel. We begin the story of Moses' calling by God with a reading of Exodus 1, verse 1, and it goes all the way through 4, verse 17. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, because Joseph was in Egypt already. Joseph died, brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let's deal shrewdly with them, unless they multiply, and in the event of war, they join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." Therefore the Egyptians set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their heavy burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Rameses. But the more the Egyptians afflicted them, the more Israel multiplied and grew. And the Egyptians feared the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard slavery, in mortar, bricks, and all manner of services in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was hard labor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the names of one was Sipra and the name of the other Puah. "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the male children alive. Then Pharaoh called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, he provided households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every Israeli son who is born, you shall cast into the river, but every daughter you shall save alive." A man of the tribe of Levi took as wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she made an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to see what would happen to him. And when the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, the princess saw the ark among the reeds and sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the baby boy who was crying. She had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, so that she may nurse the child for you?" And the princess said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called her child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And the princess called his name Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Now it happened in time when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the next day, there were two Hebrew men fighting there. And he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" And he answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me like you killed that Egyptian?" Then Moses became afraid and thought, "Surely this is now known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh to the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water to fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Then other shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel their father, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon today?" And they told their father, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock." Then he said to his daughters, "And where is he then? Why have you left the man? Call him so that he may eat bread." Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah his daughter to Moses. And she bore him a son, whom he called by the name Gershom. For he said, "I have been a stranger in a foreign land." Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out to God because of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, remembering his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and acknowledged them. And Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And Moses looked, and the bush was burning with fire, but it did not burn up. Then Moses said, "Let me look from close by and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." And when the Lord saw that he came to look, God called him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Do not get closer to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you stand is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. And I know their sorrows. Therefore I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore look, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Therefore I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Then God said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And God said, Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of Canaan, to the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice. You shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to Pharaoh, and you shall say to him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, so that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by a mighty hand. Therefore I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. Then Moses answered and said, But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice? Suppose they say, The Lord has not appeared to you? The Lord said to him, What is that in your hand? He said, A staff. The Lord said, Throw it on the ground. So Moses did, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. So that he may believe that the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Moreover, the Lord said to him, Now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous like snow. And the Lord said, Put your hand in your bosom again. So Moses put his hand back in his bosom, and drew it out, and look, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of this last sign. And if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to you, Then you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But Moses said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whoever else you may send. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is already coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs. It is amazing how God planned all of Moses' life to get him ready to become a great leader of God's people, to bring him out of an enemy country into the land of their own that was not without population either. God gave Moses the best education available by making him a prince. He must that way have learned how to rule a nation. But it also made him proud, impatient with cruelty and arrogance, I believe. Imagine, he must have felt that he had a right to kill that Egyptian man, be his judge. Arrogant, proud people usually do not become good and godly leaders. So Moses also needed to learn to become a patient shepherd leader of Israel. Was this last lesson easy to learn for him? I know that such training would have been highly traumatic for me. But that is how we people are. When we have success, we praise ourselves rather than thanking God for what He has done in our life. Don't we usually have to go through great difficulties before we become humble? And did this life as a refugee make Moses from a prideful man into a meek person? Questions to discuss. Did God have a special plan with Moses? Was it for God's purposes? Can you see God carefully preparing everything in Moses' life for this purpose? Talk for a while together about all the different phases of Moses' preparation. Do you think that God could use Moses as an arrogant murderer for his plans? Do you think that God can use a person who thinks that he can do it all on his own? Do you believe that God has a special plan for each one of us? How can you find out what God's plan is for you? Did you notice that God got upset with Moses for not trusting him? If God gives us a task, will he then not also give us all the help needed to do it? If God tells you to do something difficult that you cannot do, will you dare to trust him and start it anyway, relying on him to step in and help you all the way in a miraculous manner? When we have success in life, we must learn to recognize that it is God who gives that success. We must always be humble and meek enough to tell him so and thank him for his help, because without his help or that of Satan, we can do nothing. I believe that if we do not thank God for our successes, he will leave us alone, and Satan will start to do things for us and destroy our life in the end. Pride comes before the fall. Let us close this lesson by listening to a few proverbs of the wise King Solomon, the son of King David. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 13, verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 16, verse 18 to 20. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and happy is he who trusts in the Lord. Proverbs 29, verse 23. Man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. End of the lesson. We will continue the history of Moses and Israel in the next lesson.